All religions are the same. This is probably one of the fundamental beliefs of our world as the world thinks and talks about religion. A little bit of a different flavor, but at the heart, they're all trying to teach the same thing. Now, we know that Jesus himself scoffs at that. It's not true. But there are things that all the religions in the world have in common. If you put your mind to it, you maybe even now can think of a few things that all the world religions sort of have in common. And I think probably the most prominent thing that they all have in common is that they all pray. They don't pray to the same God, but they pray to a God. And when we think about prayer, this fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at this morning is probably the most popular way that we pray. When someone says, I'm going to pray about that, we know that they're going to be lifting a petition, a certain request that they want God to do something for them. And throughout the history of the religions of the world, that has been a common practice, that when a person was praying to a God, they were asking that God to do something that would help them. And when we come to Christianity, that same calling upon God to meet our needs is present. In Christianity, the danger for give us daily bread is that we get there too soon. It's not that we pray it. We should ask God to do things for us that we need. It's just as Jesus shows us here. It comes later on in the list of the petitions that we ought to ask. If you're joining with us today, and this is your first Sunday, we are in the middle of a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. So far, we've looked at the first three petitions. The first petition, the hallowing of God's name, simply means that we want God acknowledged as special, as praiseworthy in all the world. The second petition we looked at a few weeks ago, that God's kingdom would come, that his gracious reign in the hearts of people would become more and more prominent in this world. And last week we looked at that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we talked about how his will there refers to his commands, his instructions. We want God's commands and instructions followed on earth as they are followed in heaven. And we ask God to make that a reality. But this morning, we come to this fourth petition, and our focus has turned off of particularly God's name and God's kingdom and God's will to us, to our needs here on earth, where we ask God for material things. And really, this phrase, give us daily bread, teaches us to come to God in a spirit of humble dependence, asking God to provide what we need to sustain us from day to day. That's really what it is. Coming to God in a spirit of humble dependence, asking God to provide what we need to sustain us day by day. And so as we look at this four word phrase, give us daily bread, it really summarizes the teaching of this passage. And what I want to do for the next few minutes together is to look at each of those words, particularly the give and daily and bread. And I want us to see how that helps us understand what we're asking for when we pray, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And what we have here are really four guidelines that Jesus gives us on how to ask for daily needs, for material needs. Four guidelines. The first guideline is we ask God to give us daily bread. We ask God to give us daily bread. And this reflects the generosity of the God that we're asking daily bread from. If you'll notice here, Jesus doesn't teach us to pray that God would sell us our daily bread. God's not trying to make a profit off of us, or to render us in exchange for our service our daily bread. You be a good little boy, you be a good little girl, and God will give you daily bread. That's not what's said here. Instead, We simply ask God to give freely, reflecting the generosity of our Father who is in heaven. We ask God to give, not sell, not pay, but to give us the most basic necessities of life. And we ask the Father this because He loves to care for us. That's why. He doesn't sell or sort of bargain with us. That's not the case. He's giving it because He loves to care for us as our Father. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." One of my favorite passages, Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, Jesus says, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" We ask God to give us daily bread because our Father in heaven is a loving God who rejoices in caring for His children. And if we ask for bread, our Father will not give us a stone. He will give us what we need. We ask God to give us the most basic necessities of life because we know Him to be our Father who loves to care for us. But we also ask God to give us the most basic necessities of life because He is our Father in heaven. And because He is in heaven, He has the resources to care for us. Psalm 50 verse 10 tells us that every beast in the forest is God's, and the cattle on a thousand hills belong to Him. God isn't selling us our daily needs. God isn't bargaining with us in some kind of contract. God is a generous Father who sits on a pile of riches this world cannot fathom, and He dispenses it. His joy dispenses it, gives it freely when we ask Him, "Father, give us daily bread." God is the one who waters the earth and makes the crops to grow. He is the one that gives us life and strength to earn our bread and then to bake it. We are utterly dependent upon God's gracious provision in every moment of every day. And so part of this petition, "Give us daily bread," is praying to God, "God, in your sovereign care, please give us what we need. And as you care for us, please provide us with the things that we require for life in this world." Now, before we move on to this guide, this first guideline, there is a bit of a warning here that just because we ask God to give us daily bread doesn't mean that we can sort of sleep in, right? That we don't have to give heed and effort to our own labor and work. God commands us other places in the Scriptures to be productive in our labor and with respect to our daily needs. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So we have that responsibility to labor and to work. So on one hand, we have to trust in the gracious care of God to give us our daily bread. And on the other hand, we are to be industrious, doing all that we can to provide for our families with a spirit of dependency upon God. God typically works through means, and He normally provides daily bread through our means of labor. Yet, He is the one giving that bread through our labor. So the first guideline, when we think about praying, "Give us daily bread," is we're reflecting on the generosity of the giver. Give us daily bread. Not sell, not bargain, not sign a contract with God. But God, out of His generosity as our Father, loves to give us daily bread. The second guideline when we think about praying this petition is to give us daily bread. And in this petition for daily praying and asking God to give us daily bread, God is communicating to us our dependency upon Him for the material needs that we have. You'll notice here, we are not to request that God provide our bread weekly or monthly, but daily. And one of the things that we discover as we read the Bible is that God's people often have to live depending on God one day at a time. It's like God sort of orders things to happen this way. One of the greatest illustrations of this is in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 16, after God had delivered the Israelites who had been in slavery in Egypt, He delivers them out of that slavery and He takes them out into the wilderness, basically. He's going to take them to the promised land, but they don't trust Him. And so as a result of that lack of trust, they are wandering in the desert. And in their wandering, they get concerned about food, right? Lord, we got all these people and we're out just wandering in the desert. What are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? Have you delivered us from slavery in Egypt to kill us out here in the desert? And so in the midst of this concern for how they would live and how they would eat, we see God's daily provision for them. Exodus chapter 16, I'm going to read starting in verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath. "So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against the Lord.'" Of course, they're not satisfied just with this. They all actually want meat to go with their bread. And so later on there in verse 11, God goes on to say, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' And in the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer,'" which was a form of measurement in their day, "'according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more and some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. And each of them gathered as much as he could eat." So there's a couple things there. God designed that provision of daily need, bread, in such a way that they had to go out each day to gather it. As a matter of fact, if you read more about this, you would see that if they tried to gather extra so they could sleep in the next day and not have to go gather it, that it would rot in the tent and create a huge stench and create angry neighbors, right? So God had designed it so that each day they would have to depend on the Lord's provision. Not only that, God gave provision to grumbling and complaining people. He says, "I want to give you bread." "Well, that's not enough. We need this." And God goes the extra mile to provide the quail for them, even as they are a grumbling people. And at the end of that, you'll notice that he said that each gathered, some gathered much, some gathered little, but when they got back home to their tent, each gathered enough to eat. There was a sufficient provision to these complainers. So God had designed a system by which his people would be daily dependent upon God for the provision of their basic needs. You see, Jesus instructs us to request bread daily because, just like God with the Israelites, he wanted to teach us that we need to acknowledge our dependence on God's provision to sustain us each and every day. Asking for daily bread reminds us who the source of our provision is. It is our Father in heaven who cares for us, and this truth should calm us and prevent us from being anxious about our care. As a matter of fact, this idea, Jesus carries on here just a few passages after this in Matthew chapter 6. If you look later on in that chapter, at verse 25, Jesus gives some actual pretty detailed instructions about this. That because God is caring for you, you ought not be anxious over your daily bread. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious, Jesus says, about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. It's like he's generous and giving it to them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God. It's almost like he's saying, pray, my kingdom come, before you say, give us this day our daily bread. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we care? Who will provide for our daily needs? Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So I ask you this morning, do you live in daily dependence upon God's provision? Or have you joined this crazed world in its anxiety-filled concern about tomorrow? Who'll care for us tomorrow? Who'll meet this need and that need? What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Or are we content to say each day, Father, give us daily bread? And have confidence to know that if our Father feeds the birds of the air and if he clothes the lilies of the field, how much more important are we to him than they? And so he can be trusted to meet our needs. Now, living in daily dependence on God's provision does not mean that Christians will always have to live at the sort of subsistence level or may not plan for the future. That's not what Jesus is after here. But what it does mean is that we should not worry about the future. God is willing and God is able to meet our daily needs, which Jesus tells us we are to bring before him on a daily basis. But you and I have a tendency not to live day by day in terms of things that we need to eat, right? We stock up on food. We have refrigerators and freezers that sort of extend the life of our food and keep it fresh. So it's not our custom to sort of face each new day with this need of what are we going to eat? So I think given this custom that we live in, we more than Christians probably in the history of the church need this petition, need to be reminded that each day we go to the Lord and recognizing you are the source of my daily nourishment. You meet my needs. I'm not depending on my refrigerator and my freezer or myself, but ultimately upon you. I trust you, Lord. And in his grace, God often gives us much more than we need. But sometimes his care for us will be day of. And as far as our lives are concerned on earth, all he has promised us is daily bread. And that really leads us to the third guideline here as we think about praying, give us daily bread. We've seen first and foremost the give. We're asking God to give out of his generosity as a loving Father who is in heaven. We've seen this emphasis upon daily. God has designed us to live with an awareness of daily dependence upon him. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are reminded of that dependency upon God to meet our needs. And the third guideline is that we ask God to give us daily bread. What is this bread that we're asking for? Well, the Bible uses the term bread to describe whatever food we really and truly need to live. This is an important insight to understanding what we're asking God to do, or what we should be asking God to do, when we say, give us daily bread. Included in the bread is everything that pertains to our life, including our food and its fields, our houses and the harmony within them, our work and the health that we need to do it. It is a prayer for farmers and against famine. It is a prayer that covers clothing and shelter and physical health. So the prayer, give us daily bread, is a prayer of intercession for social and medical services. The prayer covers money and the power to earn, and so it becomes a cry against poverty, unemployment, and for national policies that prolong those concepts. But Jesus here teaches us to pray, give us daily bread. He doesn't teach us to pray, give us daily dessert. And there's a difference when we're asking God to meet our needs of praying for bread and praying for dessert. We're not asking for extravagance when we pray for daily bread. You see, our trouble is that so often we come to God with our greeds rather than our needs. Already having everything that we need, we pray for what we want. And then this becomes our source of discontentment. We desire things that God has not promised to give us. We ask for them, which we're free to do. And then when we don't get them, we become discontent with God. But the reality is, God hasn't promised to give us daily dessert to meet our wants. You may never have a boat. You may not have a fancy house. You may have to ultimately sell a car to make ends meet. You may not have a $1 million portfolio when you retire. God hasn't promised those things that we think are essential to life as blessed Americans. And following Christ may mean that we lose some of those things. And when we do, God hasn't shortchanged us. He has only promised to give us daily bread, what we need to live. In this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us that bread is enough. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 6 through 10, Paul writes this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." It's not by mistake that Paul says that, and Jesus used the illustrations of feeding birds, food, and clothing lilies in the field, clothes. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. So how do we find this prayer, this place of contentment, of daily bread? Well, I think Proverbs chapter 30 gives us great insight into fleshing out what it means to give us daily bread. Proverbs 30 verses 8 and 9 says this, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?'" Right? We get so enamored with all the blessings that we forget the giver of the daily bread. "Lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or on the other side, lest I be poor and steal and proclaim the name of God." You see, even if all we have is a little food to make it through the day, we still have all we need. And because bread is something we really do need, God will certainly give it to us. So the question now is, will you now believe that what comes to you, much or little, is God's answer according to His promise back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Will you accept that? And will you, on the basis of that truth, be content and grateful when God gives you daily bread? So we've seen these first three guidelines. Give. God is generous to bless us with our material needs. He loves to meet our needs. Daily. Each day, dependent upon God to meet our material needs. Bread. Not dessert, not extravagance, not everything we want, but He will be faithful to meet our basic needs. We ask God to give us daily bread. We ask God to give us daily bread. We ask God to give us daily bread. And the last guideline I want to point you to in closing is we ask God to give us heavenly bread. You see, the gift of our daily bread teaches us to depend on God for life itself. We've seen that already, not only physically, but also spiritually. That we have a daily need, not just for the material goods that God provides, but we have a daily need for God Himself. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, the people of Israel that we saw in Exodus, those that had refused to believe God had died in the wilderness as part of God's judgment on them because they didn't believe what God said. And as God killed that generation and raised up younger people, God is preparing to send those new generation into the promised land that He had promised the earlier generation. But before they go into that promised land, Moses brings out the law that God had originally given when they had escaped slavery in Egypt, and he wants to read the law again for this generation to remind them of the commitment that they have with God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, this is what Moses said. "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna." Remember that flaky forest-looking frosted flake type thing we saw earlier in Exodus 16? "He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So Moses' point is like, look, this hasn't been just an empty exercise out here in the wilderness. God's been testing you. God's been trying to teach you something about Himself and about your relationship to Him. You were worried about what you were going to eat, and God made provision. How did He feed you? With something that was He invented. Nobody had ever heard of this. And so He didn't just bring bread that you'd already seen before like He had in Egypt. He made up an entirely new food to sustain you, to teach you this lesson. that you don't live by eating the bread. That's not what keeps you alive, ultimately. You live because God is here caring for you. You've got to see that. That was the lesson that he was trying to teach. You don't live by bread alone, but you live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. This passage here in Deuteronomy 8 teaches us that God designed physical needs to point out our deeper spiritual needs. Our need for daily physical nourishment is a faint echo of our daily need of spiritual nourishment and satisfaction that only comes from God. And the only way that we will taste the goodness of God's provision is by living according to what comes out of the mouth of God, what he says. Jesus himself understood this much better than Israel did when Moses was talking to them in Exodus 16 and in the new Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Jesus understood this at his own temptation. In Luke chapter 4, we read this. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It's not by mistake. Israel goes to the wilderness. Jesus goes to the wilderness. And he goes not for 40 years, but for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, Jesus was hungry. So does Jesus complain and grumble against God? Does he want to take things into his own hands to make his own provision contrary to what God told him? No. The devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone. God hasn't given you bread, Jesus. He's given you stone. Command this stone into bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, Jesus refused to assume the rebel posture of self-reliance. Jesus told his tempter that he would wait for his Father to give him bread on his own terms. And so Jesus here enacts his own prayer. He demonstrates for us what it looks like to trust in the manna-giving God, not a stone-giving God. He called this manna-giving God his Father. Another example of this heavenly food is in John chapter 6, where Jesus performs a miracle. He feeds 5,000 men from a few loaves, feeds them bread. And as a result of this provision of bread, the people want to follow Jesus. They like, we want to sign up for that meal plan, Jesus. We like this daily bread. You just multiply the loaves and everyone, no one's hungry. And in John chapter 6, after Jesus had performed this miracle, he goes to another town, but people begin to follow him and they approach him and they say this. They say, verse 25, they found him on the other side of the sea and they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, the earthy bread, but labor for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. And then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believe in me, is what Jesus says. And so they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? Jesus convinced us of this. Now I find this a bit comical because he's just fed 5,000 people plus from a few loaves, right? And then he goes on to say that they say, we need to see a sign to believe you. And we've actually got a sign in mind that we want to see you perform. So he goes on there in verse 31. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And so they're so impressed by this. They call on Jesus and they say, look, we want you to do this sign. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. First of all, you got that wrong. It was my Father who did that, not Moses, who gave you the bread from heaven. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. You're asking God, give us daily bread, the physical needs. There's a place for that, Jesus says. But God Father gives you something greater. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so they say to him, sir, give us this bread always. Sign us up. But they fail to really understand this. And so Jesus goes back to their fathers who ate the manna in the wilderness. If you go to John chapter 6, verse 48. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. God met provision, but ultimately, manna doesn't keep you alive forever. Verse 50. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. You see, however real daily bread seems to us, and those hunger pains are real, no matter how real it seems, it's not the ultimate reality. It's only a picture. You see, Jesus Christ is the reality. He is the true bread that we need to eat if we desire life. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. You see, Jesus was saying that what he did on the cross, the offering of his flesh, his body, the spilling of his blood for our sins, is the food and the drink of eternal life. And anyone who wants to live forever with God must take Jesus the way a hungry man takes a loaf of bread. Jesus referred to himself here as the bread of life, the bread from heaven, the true manna sent from heaven, because he is God's ultimate provision for our spiritual lives. He alone forgives our sins. He alone gives us the power for obedience. And so when we come back to the Lord's Prayer, after hearing Jesus' discourse on the bread of life and his flesh given to the world for eating, it becomes hard not to see Jesus himself as that heavenly bread. When we pray, give us daily bread. Yes, meet our physical needs. But Lord, we know that those physical needs point to a far greater need, one that has been fully met for everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ.